you're reading this and going through it, I'm kind of struggling with just in what sense or how is this, how is God involved in this situation? And one of the things that comes to my mind is, was Jeremiah really a spokesman for God in a straight out sense? Mm-hmm. In a straight out of sense, as he brings out, mm-hmm. Or was it rather that God used Jeremiah in that situation to bring balance to the situation, or something like that? And the picture that I get of Jeremiah, as I kind of mull through some other things and so forth, is someone who was brought up in an atmosphere of criticism of the state structure and the powers that be and so forth, and that tradition that he was brought up in came from way back when, during David's time, the transition from David to Solomon.
Yeah, the fact that his ancestors
there was put out of the temple. They got kind of the short end of the stick, and it kind of sounds as though there was a tradition of this sort of thing that was perpetuated, and Jeremiah, in this political situation, he comes out really twisting the dagger as much as he can.
He seems kind of bitter at times.
Yes, and I see Jeremiah and wonder, was he that person who was living very close to God and was speaking for God in that situation, mm-hmm. or was it rather that in years since that time it was felt by God's people
that he was?
That,
mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a question probably that could never be answered. Whether it was, and I'm not sure it was always clear with any particular prophet, because prophets always made enemies and always would respond, would have responses to them in that way. We're going to talk in a little bit about Jeremiah's own personal recollections and pain, and maybe that'll give a little bit more insight.
Yeah. Well, you're thinking about the statement that prophets always made enemies might be another criterion for determining whether or not somebody speaks the word of God. I think that often, well, Hananiah, for instance, breaks the yoke and says, in 2 years you're off the hook. Mm-hmm. That's kind of people like to hear that. And I think that's really a good point. The prophets, the people who we look upon as prophets, very seldom said things that were comforting.
Okay. Yeah, well, that identifies a couple criteria. One way to tell the true word of God is that if it speaks something other than soothing words, if it does come to pass, and one thing that will occur in Jeremiah is that if it is consistent with the faith of Israel and with the statutes and the commands that were found in the books of the law. It took a little bit of time, and it took a long time to work out the criteria for who speaks the word of God. And it was never really finally done, because the freedom of God always left the option that someone could make a mistake, or that God could change his action, change God's response to the situation. And so there was never 100% assurance that once a person began to speak, that was God's word.
Yeah. Well, the Bible tells us that God does things. It doesn't tell how he does them. That's the same with evolution and creationism.
Sure, sure.
The how isn't told.
One partial feeling that I don't hold all the time, but most of the time, respect to Reverend Sim Moon,
yeah.
and his support of the rather bad government in Korea, his strong support of our Vietnam thing, his great praises for President Nixon when President Nixon was most illegal, is a three lines of poetry written by a friend of mine about Constantine and making Christianity the religion of the imperial Roman state. When I hear priest or prelate blessing war, I think of you, O Constantine, once more, who made the bride of Christ great Caesar's whore. And since most pastors supported the Vietnam War, there are lots of whoring been going on.
We won't go into those particular passages, but the idea of whoring and harloting is one of the images that that Jeremiah uses constantly for the people of Israel. He even goes so far to call them a camel in heat. To be tracing your steps across the desert. It's a fun reading. Okay. We're going to talk about, I said chapter 21 and 22 are Jeremiah's words to the royal house. Chapter 21, verse 11. To the royal house of Judah. Hear the word of Yahweh, O house of David. This is what Yahweh has said. Execute justice daily. Rescue the robbed from the extortioner's clutch, lest my wrath break out like fire and burn so that none can quench it. So wicked have been your deeds. Look, I am against you, enthroned over the veil on the rocky plateau, Yahweh's word. You who say, who can descend upon us? Who can enter our lairs? I'll punish you just as your deeds deserve, Yahweh's word. I'll kindle a fire in her forest that will rage through all her environs. This is what Yahweh has said. Go down to the palace of the king of Judah and there speak this word. Say, hear the word of Yahweh, O king of Judah, who sits on David's throne, you and your officials and your subjects who enter these gates. This is what Yahweh has said. Act justly and righteously. Rescue the one who has been robbed from the clutches of the oppressor. Do not wrong or mistreat the resident alien, the orphan, or the widow. There's Deuteronomy again. Or shed innocent blood in this place. For if you will really act to carry out this commission, then there will always enter the gates of the palaces of the king of David's line, who sit on his throne and ride in chariots and on horses, they and their officials and subjects. But if you will not heed these words, I swear by myself, Yahweh's word, that this palace will become a ruin. For this is what Yahweh has said concerning the palace of Judah's king. And here I think he quotes an ancient poem. Like Gilead are you to me, or Lebanon's crest. Yet I swear that I will make you a desert and abandoned town. I'll commission against you wreckers, each with his tools. They'll fell your splendid cedars, bring them down in the flames. Then many foreign peoples will pass by the city and will say to another, why did Yahweh do such a thing in this great city? And they will answer, because they forsook the covenant of Yahweh their God and did obeisance to other gods and worshiped them. You can see here that the king is invested with the responsibility of doing justice. Jeremiah's talk to the people is about apostasy, and one might guess that a proper understanding of the freedom of God and of his absolute, the requirement of absolute loyalty is the basis for the people to practice justice. But the king has a greater responsibility in that the king must practice it whether the people do or not. Chapter 22, verse 10. To Jehoahaz, this is a young 18-year-old who was king for 3 months. Pharaoh Necho took him off to Egypt, never to be seen again. And sort of a lament for him. Weep not for the dead, nor bemoan him. Weep rather for him who departs, for he'll never come back again or see his native land. For this is what Yahweh has said concerning Shalom, which was his original name. Necho changed it to Jehoahaz. Shalom, Ben Josiah, king of Judah, who succeeded his father Josiah on the throne. He has gone. He who has gone from this place will never come back to it again. In the place to which they have deported him, he will die. He will never see this land again. Jeremiah's true feelings for Jehoiakim come out in 22, verse 13. Woe to him who builds his house by unfairness, his upper rooms by wrong, who works his neighbor for nothing nor pays him any wage. He calls the king's subject the king's neighbor, who says, I'll build me a spacious house with airy roof chambers, So he widens its windows, panels with cedar, and paints it bright red. That makes you a king, outdoing everyone in cedar? Your father, Josiah, didn't he live well enough and enjoy himself, and yet didn't he do justice and rights? He espoused the cause of the poor and the needy. Wasn't that what it means to know me, word of Yahweh? But no eyes have you and no thought save for personal gain, for shedding the blood of innocents and for acts of extortion and tyranny. And so this is what Yahweh has said concerning Jehoiakim ben Josiah, king of Judah. Woe to this man, though not lament him, ah, my brother, ah, sister, though not lament him, ah, Lord, ah, his majesty. They'll give him a donkey's funeral, hauled out and dumped outside Jerusalem's gates. There's another incident that maybe describes King Jehoiakim's attitude toward Jeremiah a little better, and that's in chapter 36, page, my page 176, chapter 36. Called the incident of the scroll. In the fourth year of Jehoiakim ben Josiah, king of Judah, that the following word came to Jeremiah from Yahweh: get yourself a book scroll and write in it everything that I have said to you concerning Israel and Judah and all the nations since I first spoke to you, that is, from the days of Josiah until the present, which is a total of 20 years. It's kind of a big request. And it may explain why things are a little jumbled up. Perhaps if the citizens of Judah hear all of the evil that I propose to you, that I propose to do to them, they will turn one and all from their wicked conduct, and then I can forgive their sinful wrongdoing. So Jeremiah called Baruch ben Neriah, and Baruch, at Jeremiah's dictation, wrote down in a scroll all the words of Yahweh which Jeremiah had received. Then Jeremiah instructed Baruch as follows: I have been barred, I cannot go to the temple. So you yourself must go, and there in Yahweh's house, in the hearing of the people, on a fast day, read the words of Yahweh from the scroll which you have written at my dictation. In this way you can also read them in the hearing of all the people of Judah who will be coming from their various cities for the feast. Perhaps they will present their supplications before Yahweh and will turn one and all from their wicked conduct, for great is the furious anger with which Yahweh has threatened this people. And Baruch ben Neriah did exactly as Jeremiah the prophet dictated, that is, with regard to reading the words of Yahweh from the words of Yahweh from the book in Yahweh's house. Now it was the ninth month of the fifth year of Jehoiakim ben Josiah, king of Judah, that all the people in Jerusalem, together with all the people who had come to Jerusalem from other cities of Judah, observed a fast before Yahweh. It was then that Baruch read the words of Jeremiah. This he did in the hearing of all the people in the chamber of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan. This is the Secretary of State. This is in the Secretary of State's office, which is located in the upper court, right at the new gate of Yahweh's house. Now Micaiah, the son of Gemariah, heard all the words of Yahweh as they were read from the book, whereupon he went down to the royal palace, to the chamber of the Secretary of State, where all the princes were at the moment in session: Elishama, the secretary, Deliah ben Shemaiah, Elnathan ben Abakor, and all these other people, the various other princes. I guess he got tired too. And Micaiah told him everything that he had heard when Baruch read from the book in the hearing of the people. And all the princes sent Yehudi ben Nathaniah ben Shelemiah ben Cushi to Baruch with the command: the scroll from which you have read in the hearing of the people, bring it with you and come. So Baruch came to them and brought the scroll with him, and they said to him, sit down and read it to us. So Baruch read it to them. When they had heard it, they were perturbed, and they said to one another, we will certainly have to report all this to the king. And they questioned Baruch, tell us how. How did you come to write all these things? And Baruch replied, Jeremiah personally dictated all this to me, and I merely wrote it down with ink in the book. Uh-huh. Then the princes said to Baruch, go and hide, you and Jeremiah. Don't let anyone know where you are. With that, they went into the court to the king, having deposited the scroll in the chamber of Elishama, the Secretary of State. This is unique to all prophetic literature. You never knew these kind of personal things about the prophets. And they reported the whole affair to the king. The king thereupon sent Yehudi to get the scroll, and he brought it into the chamber of Elishama, the secretary. And Yehudi read it to the king and to all the princes who stood about the king. Now the king was seated in the winter house. It was December, and there was a brazier fire burning before him. And whenever Yehudi would read three or four columns, the king would cut them off with a penknife and toss them into the fire in the brazier, and so on, until the entire scroll was consumed.
Yet they were not afraid, nor did they rend their garments, neither did the king nor any of his courtiers who heard all these words. Elnathan, Deliah, Gemariah, to be sure, begged the king not to burn the scroll, but he would not listen to them. On the contrary, the king ordered Prince Jeremiel, Sariah, Ben Azriel, and all these other people to arrest Baruch the scribe and Jeremiah the prophet. But Yahweh had hidden them. Good advice. Now after the king had burned the scroll containing the things that Baruch had written at Jeremiah's dictation, 20 years worth of prophecy, the word of Yahweh came to Jeremiah as follows: get yourself another scroll and write in it everything that was included in the original scroll which Jehoiakim king of Judah burned. And as regards Jehoiakim king of Judah, you shall say, this is what Yahweh has said: you have dared to burn the scroll, saying as you did so, why did you write here that the king of Babylon will certainly come and ravage this land, leaving alive in it neither man nor beast? Therefore, this is what Yahweh has said concerning Jehoiakim, king of Judah. No descendant of his shall sit on David's throne. His dead body shall be flung out to the heat by day and the frost by night. I will punish him and his offspring and his servants for their iniquities, bringing upon them and upon the citizens of Jerusalem and the people of Judah all the evil with which I have threatened them, and which they have refused to hear. So Jeremiah got another scroll and gave it to Baruch, the scribe, who wrote in it at Jeremiah's dictation everything that was in the book that Jehoiakim had burned. And in addition to this, many further words of the same sort were added.
I've got a quarter to ten. We really haven't talked about the most important things about Jeremiah until we've talked about his own personal pain. We'll maybe spend a little bit of time, maybe 5 minutes, looking at some of the pain that he had felt as prophet. First, I'll read to you in the beginning the account of his call. The word of God came to me thus: before I formed you in the womb, I chose you, Jeremiah. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you prophet to the nations. Then I said, ah, my Lord Yahweh, look, I don't know how to speak. I'm only a boy. But Yahweh answered, never say I'm only a boy, for you will go on errands that I send you, and you will say what I tell you to say. Don't be afraid of them, for I'm with you to come to your rescue, Yahweh's word. And Yahweh stretched out his hand and touched my mouth, and Yahweh said to me, there, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have made you an overseer this day of nations and kingdoms, to uproot and tear down, to destroy and to raise, to plant and to build. As for you, this is verse 17, gird up your loins. Stand up and say to them whatever I tell you to say. Don't lose your nerve because of them, lest I shatter your nerve before them. And I have made you today a fortified city, an iron pillar, a wall of bronze, Jeremiah, against all the land, against Judah's kings and princes, its priests and landed gentry. Attack you they will, overcome you they won't, for I am with you to come to your rescue, Yahweh's word. Jeremiah's commissioning, as he remembers it.
What chapter are you reading?
That was chapter 1. I'll just mention a couple others. Chapter 4, verses 19, chapter 8, verses 18, are Jeremiah's laments. Probably the most representative one is chapter 15. Starting with verse 10. Ah me, my mother, that you bore me to accuse and indict the whole land. Neither lent I nor loan received, yet all of them cursed me, saying, I didn't deal treacherously in money, but everyone hated me. But I swear, O Yahweh, for their good I have served thee, and with thee for the foe interceded in the time of his trouble and woe. Ah, but thou knowest. Remember me, Yahweh, take note of me, avenge me of those that harass me. Do not, through thy patience, destroy me. Consider, for thy sake I suffer abuse. There were thy words, and I ate them, and it was my joy, my heart's delight, that I bore thy name, that I was thine. O Yahweh, thou God of hosts, not for me to sit with the crowd, laughing and merry. Gripped by thy hand, I did sit all alone, for with rage thou didst fill me.
Why, oh why, is my pain without end, my wound ever worse, defying all cure? And Jeremiah comes as close to blasphemy as any prophet. He says, ah, truly you are a dried up stream to me whose waters have failed. And at that, Yahweh answered me as follows. If you repent, I'll restore you to serve me once more. If you mix not the chief and the precious as my mouth, you shall be. Let them come over you. Don't you go over to them. Then before this people, I'll make you an impregnable wall of bronze. Attack you they will, overcome you they won't. For with you I am, to save you and to help you, Yahweh's word. From the grasp of the wicked, I'll snatch you. From the clutch of the ruthless, release you. This is unique to prophetic literature. As I said, the diatribe used to be, thus saith the Lord, I'll do, because you have done this, I'll do this. Here we have something totally unique. The personal anxiety and brokenness felt by the prophet. And it's interesting too, although in the last part of Isaiah, the idea of suffering has some theological meaning, that the one who suffers bears the sins of the people. There's nothing like that in Jeremiah. Jeremiah, who was stood alone speaking the word of truth to the nation, suffered horribly for what he said, and there was no redemption of that. He went off into oblivion, into Egypt, and tradition has it was stoned by the people because he continued to prophesy. The idea of pain being redemptive was something that came after Jeremiah, and one wonders about faithfulness to God, that when theologians of the cross talk about faithfulness will always lead to that kind of suffering and death, one can look not only to Jesus, but one can look to Jeremiah, who in reward for his faithfulness came to an obscure end after he saw his country decimated and destroyed. Food for thought.
Well, it's interesting that the book was included in the canon.
The last thing I'll read will be chapter 31, beginning of verse 31. It's from the Book of Consolation. And it's interesting because it is consistent with, it is a word of hope, but it's consistent with Jeremiah's theology. Jeremiah is the first prophet to mention the new covenant. The prophets have talked about restoring Israel. But Jeremiah, in the word that he spoke, said that Israel has abolished the covenant by its disobedience. And so God's response can only be to make a new covenant. 31 again. Believe me, days are coming, Yahweh's word, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, both northern and southern kingdoms. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which covenant of mine they broke, though I was their Lord, Yahweh's word. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel when that time comes, Yahweh's word. I will put my law within them, and on their hearts will write it. I will be their God, and they will be my people, and no longer need each say to one's neighbor, each say to his brother or sister, saying, know Yahweh, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, Yahweh's word. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sins I will remember no more. I guess it's appropriate to end with that, seeing as we're in the Pentecost season, and we as Christians confess that we have become recipients of the new covenant. Thank you very much. I hope you enjoy reading.